listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light. 'Tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I see. The light of the world is Jesus. Reading today, Colossians chapter 1, beginning at the 12th verse, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers in the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Let's pray that God will give us understanding of these words, especially that we will believe on him who is the exalted one, who is the creator, who is, as we read last week, he who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, took on him the form of a man. He is all things. Let's pray that we will believe that as we should. Only then can we be saved by him. Our Father, we come to thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in his name for all that has been given. Help us to know, as the writer of Scripture could say, that thou art the giver of every good and perfect gift. Father, many are small, some are natural, but we thank thee above all for the greatest of all gifts, so loving the world that thou didst give thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Father, help us to know these words which are well known in memory, well known in our minds many times, but not as well known in our hearts. Thou hast told us by the pen of Paul that with a heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made unto salvation. We pray, Father, that we might know these things truly, rightly, to thy glory, that we might know them in experience, that we might then be saved by experiencing those blessings through thy word and by faith, all by the mighty work of the Holy Spirit, all because of Christ, and all by thy grace. Help us to know these things, Father, as they are in Scripture, that we will endure then sound doctrine, that we will not be taken away by fables or tradition. And we pray that we may know, Father, that there is but one name given under heaven whereby we can be saved, the name of Jesus, Creator, and as we read, that by him all things consist, all things continue. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Help us to exalt thy Son, Father, and then have life through him. We also give thanks for the temporal blessings. We give thanks for the blessings in nature that we have. We pray for those that do not have them as we do, those who are suffering because of the lack of them, some, Father, in flood, some in drought, some in wind, some in the earthquakes, some homeless, some hungry. We pray for all of those, and we pray for thy mercy on them. We pray especially for thy teaching through these afflictions, that many might know that we have here no abiding city they must look for and prepare for the one to come. Help us, Father, to learn through afflictions the peaceable fruits of righteousness. We also pray, Father, for our homes. We pray that right homes might be established. We pray that homes that are broken might be healed. We pray for the children in those troubled homes. We pray for the church to teach the truth rather than the lie concerning all of in the home and all of it. In marriage, divorce, remarriage, all the errors and the lies that are propagated and compromised with, help us to come back to the truth, thy word, and we give thanks for it. We pray, Father, for those in sickness and injury. We pray for those suffering in many different ways, the sorrowing. We pray for the lonesome. We pray for the elderly. All these, Father, through Christ. Amen. We want to continue preaching, speaking the word. As we saw 2 weeks ago from the parable, the sower goeth forth to sow. And then we read by the pen of Luke that he sowed the word. The seed is the word of God. The scripture is God's word to us, God's word through men that wrote it. Many want to ignore that. Many want to give human reasons why this book was written or that book was written, and even deny being written by sometimes one person. But all of it is, as the Scripture itself tells us, for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Yes, correction in the church, reproof in the church, and certainly sometimes a return to doctrine in the church. I remember reading of a church established over 100 years ago, about 150 years ago. I read the man that began that church, the man that turned from Catholicism to Protestantism, and then established a church. And I knew where the church was. It was in another state than where I lived. But reading about it, I wondered how that church was prospering now. So I called and found the number of the church, talked to the pastor, and asked him what the condition of the church was. And his answer was, "We are just returning to teaching the Word of God." In a way, very good. Returning to the Word of God. In a way, very bad. They must have departed from the Word of God for a time. And some churches do that. They depart. They teach a social gospel. They teach practical things of everyday life, but not the Word of God. The sower went forth to sow. He sowed the seed, and the seed was the Word of God. And especially, that Word is the message of Him who is the eternal Word. The one that John speaks of, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made that was made without Him." He is God, He was with the Eternal Father, and He was the Creator. Nothing was made without Him that was made. We read that also here from Colossians, verse 16 of this first chapter. "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him." That took place about 6,000 years ago. But what about now? We read in the next verse, verse 17, "And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist," upheld, continue. We read much the same when Paul writes to the Hebrew Christians. We read that God hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son, by whom he appointed heir of all things, and by whom also He made the worlds. We also read that, "and upholding all things by the word of His power." This world as we know it, the earth, held in the atmosphere. Airplanes can fly around it. You can fly east or west and come to the other side of the earth. And the air is there like it's here. It's held up. And all things on the earth, including you and me, are here because of Christ, the Creator, creating us in the beginning in His image, losing it in Adam, being recreated again in Christ, and then having Him to uphold all things by the word of His power. Even all the heathen religions, though wrong, though denying Christ, some of them denying Him absolutely as God, wanting to make Him much less than He is, and then saying we believe in Him too. Like we read in Psalm 50, "Thou thoughtest there was altogether such a one as thyself." Yes, heathen religions want to bring Christ down to their level, below their level. And as I mentioned a few weeks ago, even calling those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He is, accursed, cursing them. Oh, how they will be cursed themselves if they do not repent. And I would call on you, if you are one of those who believe a book that's been written and say that those who believe in Christ are cursed, repent yourself and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He was given the name Jesus because He shall save His people from their sins. He is Christ, the Anointed One. And as Paul said, I determine not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And sadly, in the church, too often, there's pride. We're in the church. We're different. Different than what? Weren't you dead in Adam? You didn't fall as far as the rest of the world? What about the pride? Christ said of those in His time, thou that art exalted to heaven shall be brought down to hell. It's exactly where I would have went if all I had is what I had in the church for the first 28 years of my life. Pride, trusting my own works, trusting lies, false doctrine. Thought all was well. God asked to do as He did with Saul, the Pharisee, the strictest sect of the Jews. Now He's writing here to these people, and He is saying with them, Himself and them, give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And where were they before that? The next verse, verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Many today in the church want to say, well, the church is here instead of Israel. I hope you're better than Israel. Christ said to those of Israel, those of Judah, those of the leadership as well, how will you escape the damnation of hell? Jeremiah had said 600 years before that, you say the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord is this. He said, this is not the temple of the Lord. It was in the beginning when Solomon built it. God blessed it. God honored it. God sanctified it. At times it was cleansed, and at times there was good worship in it. At times there was a return to God in the worship there, as in Hezekiah, Josiah, even the earlier part of Jeremiah's life. But then God had to say of them, they turned but feignly and not with the whole heart. He called them treacherous Judah. You're in their place. You have the place they had in the past, many would say. Replacement theology, they call it. Are you a treacherous church? Have you turned but feignly and not with a whole heart? How about when we take two churches together? One says the other's wrong. Both say the other's wrong. Which one is treacherous? Which one is right? As the old saying is, they can't both be right, but they can both be wrong. And I fear that that's where the church is today. Christ said of the church, they are the salt, the light. That's what we should be. That's what we will be if Christ is true to the head. That's what we will be if we have been delivered from the power of darkness. If we have been partakers of the light of Christ. But if all we have is formalism, all we have is an inheritance one generation from the other, thinking all is well. Then what? Only a form. Only a form. Paul says that in the last days they will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. People today are still denying the power that God showed when he sent the Great Awakening in the time of Jonathan Edwards. People have taught, right in my city here where I live, that this did untold damage to the Calvinistic concept of the covenant, whereby it was assumed that the children of believing parents were all children of God, only waiting confirmation. This was taught in the seminary. This is what's believed every time a baby is baptized. Words similar to that are pronounced over them. Sometimes they use a form that gives the word seal 7 times. This is sealed, that's sealed, that's sealed, that's sealed. I was told it was sealed for me. My doom would have been sealed if that's all I had. If I continued to believe that I only had God's promise in baptism, I needed more. Peter said, for to you is the promise and to your children. What is the promise? Repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Peter said that, and then he said, for to you is the promise, and you will receive the Holy Ghost. Remission of sins. We read here Paul's letter to the Colossians, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you know when your sins were forgiven for the first time in your life? People come back and say, oh, I always loved the Lord. The scripture says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. And when you put the world in 2 categories, one supposedly good and the other evil, you don't have scripture. Paul said, are we better than they? His answer is, in no wise, we have together become unprofitable. We read in the Old Testament, the Psalms, God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good. If there were any that sought the Lord, and there were none. None that understood. Do we understand like Paul understood at this time when he wrote? He didn't understand in the beginning. He didn't know this Messiah. He didn't know this Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He had to say as a little child, who art thou, Lord? I can remember after all those years in church, making confession of faith, taking the Lord's Supper, and then one day standing out in the field and saying, is there really a God? The presumption that I had was gone. The faith without works was gone. I thought works were there, but they were all sin. All sin. I learned a phrase during that time, I'm only a sinner that can do nothing but sin. Christ said, without me you can do nothing. He said it just before his death. Only death, that's all we have. Except to eat of my body and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. Knowledge, yes. But like Paul said to the Corinthians, a knowledge that puffeth up. Oh, how much of that there is in the church. That separates. We're better than them. In some ways, that might be true. But in other ways, we might be worse. It's often the case. We all have sins that others do not have. We all have traditions that others do not have. We can all be in that place as Christ said to those of his day, you make void the commandments of God by your tradition. I won't mention the particular traditions, but there are many. And often they're based on some scripture. Often scripture rested. Many times we ignore the whole scripture. Christ said to those who were described as believing on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. Then you will be learning. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Their answer was, we never were in bondage. They are like many in the church today, never in bondage, never was lost. Christ said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you weren't lost and he didn't seek you, then you aren't found. And if you aren't found, you are lost, may not know it. You may be in the pulpit and not know it. You may be in this church pew and not know it. That's why during that time of Great Awakening I just referred to, Jonathan Edwards wrote, surprising conversions. Conversions in the church. Peter said in his epistle, if judgment must begin, it must begin at the house of God. We are a nation that finds much fault with our leadership, and we can. There's much trouble between our Congress and our president. But why? Christ said, if the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into the ditch. If our government is in the ditch, I think we have to, in the church, take the first fault. What are we telling our government? What are we showing our government? We don't have any more unity than they do. And sadly, we may not have any more truth than they do either. We don't have any better homes in the church than in the world. We are inviting wicked people into the church. And I won't mention the different kinds of sins. There are many there, too many. Along with false doctrine, we have one word, and then followed by others, repent ye and believe the gospel, the good news for the guilty.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.